Joe Merchan was smoking dope with some friends on the low stone wall of the historic burial ground opposite the town common. They liked to sit there and freak out the adults. The adults retaliated through the selectmen who posted no loitering signs and insisted that the Paradise Police enforce them. Michelle was 17. She had dropped out of school after 10th grade and spent as much time as possible on the cemetery wall. When Jesse Stone pulled his unmarked car up onto the grass beside them, the two boys Michelle was sitting with got up and moved sullenly away. Michelle did not. She took a last long drag on her joint and dropped it in the street and scuffed it out with the heel of her red sneaker, looking all the time straight at Jesse as he got out of the car and walked toward her. "You gonna bust me, Jesse?" She put a heavy stress on the name to remind him that she was not speaking respectfully to an officer of the law. "Probably not," Jesse said. He sat down beside her on the stone wall. "How you doing?" he said. Michelle snorted, as if the question were too stupid to answer. Jesse nodded as if she had answered. The kids who had moved sullenly off lingered now, nearing the shopping center, watching. The traffic was sparse at mid-morning, and the bird noise was easily audible on the burial ground behind them. It was late in September, and the leaves had just begun to turn on some of the early trees, showing a touch of yellow or red against the still predominant green. Jesse was quiet. Michelle looked at him sideways, puzzled, annoyed, and stubborn. She was a small girl with a thin face that would have been pretty had it not been so empty. There was a streak of lavender in her blonde hair, and her fingernails were painted black. She wore jeans and red sneakers and a blue sweater, with the sleeves too long so that only the tips of her fingers were visible. She had a small gold bead in one nostril. She struggled to be as quiet as Jesse, but she couldn't. "You gonna run me off the wall or what?" she said. "No," Jesse said. "So how come you're sitting here?" "I was thinking what a waste of time this deal is for both of us."
"What deal?"
"You sit on the wall and smoke dope. I chase you off. You come back. I chase you off. You come back. It's a waste of my time and yours."
"So why don't you leave me alone, then?"
"Why don't you go to school?"
"School sucks," Michelle said.
Jesse grinned. "Babe, you got that right." They were both quiet for a time. Michelle kept looking at Jesse as covertly as she could.
"My sister says she sees you sometimes down the Grey Gull having drinks," she said.
"Uh-huh.
So how come that's okay and smoking dope isn't?"
"It's legal, and smoking dope is illegal."
"So that makes it right?"
"No, just legal and illegal." Michelle opened her mouth and then closed it. She was trying to think. Finally, she said,
"Well, that sucks."
Jesse nodded.
"Lots of things suck," he said.
"After a while, you sort of settle for trying not to suck yourself, I guess."
"By pushing kids around?" Michelle said.
Jesse turned his head slowly and held her gaze for a moment.
"Am I pushing you around, Michelle?"
She shrugged.
"What do you think you'll be doing in 10 years, Jesse said.
"Who cares?" Michelle said.
"Me," Jesse said.
"You ever see any 30-year-old people sitting on the wall here smoking dope?" Michelle gave a big sigh.
"Oh, please," she said, drawing out the second word.
Again, Jesse nodded.
"Yeah," he said, "I know. Lectures suck, too."
She almost smiled for a moment and then looked even more sullen to compensate. The boys by the shopping center had tired of watching them and drifted off.
"So what about right and wrong?" Michelle said after a time.
"Right and wrong?"
"Yeah. You said stuff was just legal or illegal. Well, what about being right or wrong? Doesn't that matter?"
"Well, I'm not in the right or wrong business. I'm in the legal and illegal business."
"Oh, that's a cop-out. You just don't want to answer."
"No, I don't mind answering. That was part of my answer. There's something to be said for trying to do what you're paid to do." He was aware that she was suddenly looking at him directly. "And sometimes that's the best you can do."
The other thing is that most people don't have much trouble seeing what's right or wrong. Doing it is sometimes complicated, but knowing the right thing is usually not so hard. You think so? Michelle said in a tone that said she didn't. Sure. You and I both know, for instance, that sitting on the wall all day smoking grass isn't the right thing for you to do with your life. Who the hell are you to say what's right for me? The guy you asked, Jesse said. And chasing you off the wall is obviously not the right way to help you do the right thing. So why the hell are you sitting here babbling at me? Jesse smiled at her. Trying to do the right thing, he said. Michelle stared at him for a long moment. Jesus Christ, you're weird. Jesse took a business card out of the pocket of his white uniform shirt and gave it to Michelle. You need help sometime, you can call me. Michelle took the card as if she didn't know what it was. I don't need any help, she said. You never know, Jesse stood up. It's what else we do. He turned and walked back to his car. The disc jockey at the 86 Club wore a ruffled white shirt and a tuxedo vest with silver musical notes embroidered on it. He played records and did some patter, but the noise with or without the music was so loud in the low room that no one could hear what he said. A few people danced, but most of them were sitting and drinking at tiny tables jammed into the space in front of the long bar. Tammy Portugal was alone, crowded onto a bar stool, drinking a Long Island iced tea and smoking Camel Lights. She was wearing tight, tapered jeans and spike heels, and no stockings and a short-sleeved top that exposed her stomach. She'd put on her best black underwear, too, in case anything developed. She had cashed her alimony check. There was money in her purse. The kids were at her mother's until tomorrow afternoon. She had a night and half a day when she could do anything or nothing, however she pleased. Across the room, she knew he had been looking at her, and finally she let her eyes meet his. He looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but handsomer. Fabio, maybe. Big muscles, long hair. His pale eyes had a dangerous look, she thought, and it excited her. She had seen him before on her night out, and she had watched him as he moved through the bar. Watched how careful other men were around him. Watched how many of the women looked after him as he walked past. She had, she knew, been thinking of him when she put on the good black underwear. She wondered if he was gentle in bed or rough. She felt a sudden jolt along her ribcage as she realized he was walking toward her. Hi, what are you drinking? She liked the way he came on to her. He didn't ask if she was alone. A man like him wouldn't have to worry about whether she was alone. If he wanted her, he'd take her. She told him what she was drinking, trying to keep her voice down. She liked the throaty sound one of the actresses made on one of her soap operas, and she practiced it sometimes with a tape recorder when she was alone. He wedged his body into the crowded bar, making room beside her where there had been none. Seven and ginger, he said to the bartender, and a Long Island iced tea. He leaned one elbow on the bar and looked straight on into her eyes. She swiveled on her bar stool, as if to talk with him better, and managed it so that her knee would press against his thigh. I've seen you before, he said to her. They had to lean very close to each other to be heard over the clamor of the hot room. I'm out about once a week, she said, looking for the right guy. Maybe you're in luck, he said. Maybe I am. She tilted her head back a little, lowered her eyelids, and gave him an appraising look. You must be single, he said. I had something like you at home. I wouldn't let you out. Divorced, she said. Because? Because my husband was a jerk.
Was?
He's still a jerk, she said. But he ain't my husband anymore.
Kids?
Two. My mother's got him until tomorrow afternoon. He nodded as if that answered the final question.
Dance?
He said. She slid off the bar stool.
Sure, she said.
There were two big speakers at opposite corners of the small dance floor, and when they got out onto the floor, they could hear the music. It was slow. Pressed against him, she felt the tension building in her. She could feel the thick slabs of his muscles.
muscles where she didn't know people had muscles. They danced two numbers, his huge hand low on her back, pressing her steadily in against him.
You're free until tomorrow afternoon, he said
as the second record stopped playing and the DJ began his chatter while he cued a new record.
As a bird, she said. You want to go someplace, he said.
And do what, she said, looking upward at him as seductively as she knew how. She had practiced that in the mirror at home.
We could get naked, he said.
She giggled and thought about seeing that body without clothes on. It was a little frightening and a little enticing, and she was interested in a way she didn't understand, but which was not merely sexual. She giggled again.
Yes, she said. Let's go someplace and get naked.